Well, here we are again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you, my brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining in today. Today we're going into our study of sin again. This is study number 19B, the third study in the letter S, sin, and what the Bible says about sin. So far in the last, I think we've got 15 studies in this subject. In this truth, in this doctrine, in the scriptures. And we've been itemizing what the scriptures say about sin or what sin is and when it mentions it under some certain categories, remember? We talked about a bunch of them. Sins that are barred from the tree of life. Sins which are condemned to the lake of fire. We talked about sins of the flesh in which Christians used to live. And these are things that the Bible entitled with certain sins that were named underneath these titles. And we've been over every one of them in the scriptures so far. So today we're going to start a different category of study. We're going to talk about the sources of sin to begin with. The sources of sin. A source is where you get sin from, where sin comes from, where it originates. You say, well, I thought all sin was just transgression against God. Well, it is. But the Bible describes several different ways that are sources of sin, and we'll see that in the scriptures. I hope you've been doing good. I hope God has blessed you, and I know He has because you're here. And, as always, I just want to thank you for your diligence to get into the Word of God and to study in spite of what the enemy has been doing to you or may not have been doing to you or just your flesh or just fighting against all the things that fight against the Word of God. That's no joke, is it? It's not imagination. It's not something that there's a lot of Christians that are not into scriptures for that sole purpose, just because it takes suffering and it takes discipline and it takes a genuine, sincere heart to get into the scriptures and study them. And you're commanded to do it. But some Christians don't do it because they don't want to suffer. But like we read in some of the other scriptures, the Bible says it's appointed to us to suffer for Christ's sake. You have an appointment with it. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I mean, when you're suffering in the flesh, when you stop sinning, you're suffering in the flesh because your flesh always wants to sin. And we talked about that, didn't we? So I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and admire you, and be assured I want to encourage you and exhort you not to quit. Don't you ever, ever quit. You just keep on doing with what God the Holy Ghost has given you strength to do, and you keep on doing it, whether it be here or wherever you might want to study. Just stay in that book and stay in there. And you're never gonna finish or come to the last revelation of God's Word. God's Word is eternal, and the truths in it are eternal, and they go way out into eternity. And there's things about that book that what God has given us is just what He thought that we could take and what we can understand. And He gives it to us like parents give to their children. He starts us out on milk, and then He gets us into the peas and the peas in the jar and stuff like that. And then you come on up to where you can eat some meat and stuff like that, maybe, or some puree or whatever, and then you come on up and you're getting growing in the scriptures and spiritually, then you can start eating meat and potatoes and stuff like that, and you can start just getting a little bit more, and then pretty soon you start feeding yourself. You see, I mean, you don't never see unless he's disabled or somebody that just absolutely can't feed themselves. You don't never see parents feeding grown up children. You don't never see them feed. Hey, feed yourself. You know, and that's what the Lord expects of us. He wants us to start feeding ourselves. And it takes a while to yield to that thing because it takes discipline. It takes discipline. And not to brag on us because it's God's strength that gives it to us, but when we yield our will to the Lord gives us the strength to go through with it. Sometimes, I confess to you, I'm not always successful in it, man. The enemy fights me like crazy trying to get on these things and start to, he hates me getting on these things. And some of these subjects that we talk about in the scriptures, the devils, fight more about than some others. I mean, all of it's God's word, but some of it seems to be to where they're more interested in stopping that truth than they are another truth. And I don't know how to explain that, except this is one of them. I've had complete resistance to this all the time, and getting in here and recording these studies. But we're going to do it, aren't we? All right, so let's get into it. Let's get into it. Sources of sin. Sources of sin. Well, what is a source of sin? Well, Satan is a source of sin. The scriptures say he is. Satan is a source of sin. Listen to John 8:44. The Bible says, ye are of your father, the devil. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's from the Son of God. That's from the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that to be true. Satan is a source of sin. I mean, there are people that I've heard say, people talking about, we're going to run the devil out of town, and we're going to run Satan out of town, and we're going to do this and that and the other and stuff like that. Man, I'm telling you, I've heard people say that some of these wicked cities that have unclean spirits, that are, have more unclean spirits in that city positioned in that city to do battle against good and righteousness and against the Lord, people, I've heard people say that they can tell a difference in whether it's just unclean spirits that are there and working or whether Satan himself comes through. There's a big difference. And I don't know exactly, I can tell the difference in the strength of an unclean spirit or a devil whenever they're working in my life. I can tell the difference. There are some that are stronger than others and some that have more influence than others. Some of them are more sneaky than others. Some of them are more liar or, you know, I mean, they do all sorts of different kinds of things after their father, the devil, after their God, the devil. But Satan is a source of sin. You're messing around with Satan and his business and his crowd, you're going to be messing around with sin because he's a source of sin. Jesus said there's no truth in him. Well, if there ain't no truth in him, then what is it? He's an utter liar. There's nothing that comes out of him or that he thinks or he says that's not a lie. Jesus said he was that he speaketh a lie. It says when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of lies. And then there's another scripture, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8. Listen to what the scripture says. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, it's not talking about salvation. It's talking about doing righteousness and not doing righteousness. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. And it's not talking about we don't commit sin anymore. Our flesh sins. We are sanctified and circumcised from this flesh, and in God's eyes, we don't sin anymore. We're saints that sin, but we are saints. This says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, The Lord says we're not of the darkness anymore. We're children of light if you're born again, you see. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And the Bible says in Revelation, toward the end right there, at the white throne judgment, or around that period of time, is when the false prophet and the beast and Satan himself is cast in the lake of fire. And it says he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's where he's going. And even in the Old Testament prophesied that that's what it was going to do. He said that he was going to ascend, and God said, no, you're going to be brought down to hell. That's what your business. That's what's going to happen to you. Satan is a source of sin. So we see that. Sources of sin. What else? Well, man's heart is a source of sin. Yeah. The Bible says first to keep that heart. Keep that heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Bible says. You're to maintain your heart and keep your heart thinking, and just like you're doing right now, you're saturating your heart with Scripture, with the truth. And that's what you should be doing, because your heart will deceive you if you don't. Man's heart is a source of sin. Well, let's see what it says. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 16 through 20. Listen to this. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draw. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Now, he's reprimanding some of these Pharisees and Sadducees that say you're not supposed to eat with unwashing hands and this and that and the other, and saying that it defiles you and stuff like that. And Jesus is getting on them right now. But he says, for out of the heart, listen to this, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Talking about washing your hands before you eat. That was a big deal, them Pharisees, and they'd snuff their nose at you if you didn't wash your hands. Jesus told them, that ain't what defiles you. A man's heart defiles him. Whatever comes out of his mouth comes from his heart. That's what he said. Man's heart is a source of sin. Yes, it is. The Lord said, keep thy heart. Keep it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why the Lord told us to keep it. Because it'll deceive you, and it's wicked, and it wants to go and do about its own way. We're supposed to keep our heart following on the affections of things above and following the Lord and His Word. And that keeps our heart. What else? Well, lust is a source of sin. We talked about lust. Remember that? We talked about it as an itemized sin under many of those things. Lust is a sort of source of sin. James chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Lust is a source of sin. We should keep that lust out of our lives. Not allow our flesh to lust, not allow our flesh to have the lust that it lusts after. And the things that so easily beset us, that lust, like we was talking about on that last recording, killing somebody is a lust. Killing and murdering is lustful, is a lust. Lusting after things, that flesh lusts. You get up in the morning and say, and the Holy Ghost says, let's pray and read the scriptures and sit down and have a cup of coffee, and that flesh says, I want a cigarette. Yeah, the lusts. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So don't let your lust draw you away. You know what your lusts are. We're supposed to keep them and entice. Then when lust hath conceived, it gets its way. It brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Lust is a source of sin. Satan is a source of sin. Man's heart is a source of sin. Adam's transgression is a source of sin. We know that's where sin began. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, you say, where did sin come into the world? Well, the Lord says it very plainly by the Apostle Paul's book in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. He said, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam sinned, sin came into the world. It was in his seed, and every time his seed was conceived, and his children's seed were conceived, and his children, all the way down to us, sin, the Adamic nature. It's not what we've done, it's what we are. It's what we are. We're Adam's children. We come from Adam. The Son of God came from God the Father. You see, he didn't have sin. He didn't have sin nature. He wasn't cursed with that nature. We are. But Adam's transgression is a source of sin. That's what started it all. What else? Well, the natural birth is a source of sin. Being born by water, by being in your mama's belly, being conceived and being born is a source of sin. Psalm chapter 51, verse 5, it says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. She was a sinner. It dwelt in her. It was part of her nature. It was part of your father's seed. And when they conceived, when you were conceived, bam, your nature is sin. You were conceived in sin. In sin. Natural birth is a source of sin. Adam's transgression is a source of sin. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 58 and verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. The natural birth is a source of sin. So we see there are some sources of sin in our study. Satan is a source of sin. Man's heart is a source of sin. Lust is a source of sin. Adam's transgression is a source of sin. And natural birth is a source of sin. Is a source of sin. Now, how many different kinds of sin are there? You say, what? Different kinds of sin? You mean like murder and all the things that we've been over already? Brother TV, we've already been over all that. No. That's itemized sins. I'm talking about kinds of sin. How many different kinds of sin does the Scripture talk about? Well, let's talk about it. Excuse me. Kinds of sin. Well, the first thing that is a kind of sin, or the first kind of sin in the Scripture, is a national sin. There is national sin, where nations sin. There's a judgment set aside individually. Now, of course, individuals in those nations are going to be selected out that were called the sheep and goat judgment of the nations. and God judges nations, but individuals will be judged before the Lord Jesus Christ on how they treated the Jewish people during the tribulation period. National sin is when a nation sins against God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation. When a nation is being ran and being operated and its people seek after righteousness and want to do the thing that is right, it exalts a nation. But what? But sin is a reproach to any people. There is national sin. It don't take too, you don't have to look very far to pick out a nation. Can you think, if I ask you, do you know of any nations that could be classified as national sinners right now? You already come to mind, hadn't it? America is a nation of sin. Now, I know there's Christians in it, but as a corporate nation, as a nation altogether, America is a sinful nation. It has national sin now. Sin is the dominant factor in America now, not Christianity and not righteousness. Get on your news channel and look at it and see what this nation is about. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And if there's anything that America is a stench, and even your presidents and all the people that run this country, they admit it out of their mouth publicly to the nation of America, of the USA, United States of America, to the USA, that America is a stench in the nose and the eyes of the entire world now. And it is. It's a reproach. Why? Because of sin. National sin. Everybody knows that there's individual sin, personal sin. Everybody knows that. In the entire world, everybody, anybody that's been born in the flesh knows, and walking around with flesh on them, know that there is personal sin. But when it comes to a nation, all pulled together and judged as a nation, there's national sin. Do you know of any nations that are righteous now that would be classified as a nation that if you went to it, you would live under righteous rule and righteousness? I don't. There used to be one right here in America, but it took the same thing by our leaders to keep it that way as it takes for me and you to study this right now. Discipline and devotion and allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Word of God. But they've taken it out of the school. They've made it illegal for you to pray in school, to talk to God in school. They've kicked God out. They kicked Jesus Christ out, and they're letting a bunch of heathen, ungodly, wicked stuff go on publicly as a nation. It's national sin. What else? Well, we mentioned it a minute ago, personal sin. There's national sin, and then there's personal sin. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 20 says, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel, and thus have I done." Of course, we know that's when Joshua was ordered by the Lord to go in, and I think it was Jericho, when they went in to get that, and the Lord told them, don't take nothing out of that city. Everything in that city belongs to me. He said, go in there and kill every person that breathes in there. And he said, and don't take anything, any kind of spoil. And Achan did that. He did it privately. He took some gold, and he took some silver, and he took some garments, some Babylonian garments. He thought that was pretty slick looking, I guess. And he went and buried him in his tent under the ground and hid him. And the next city that Joshua went in to defeat, Ai, they kicked their hind end and sent them with their tail between their legs running. And Joshua consulted the Lord about that matter. And the Lord told him, he was on his face, and the Lord told him, get up off of your face. He said, there's sin in the camp. What kind of sin? Personal sin. Somebody has taken of the accursed thing. God told him, don't take nothing out of Jericho. He said, Jericho's my stuff, mine. Everything that comes out of there, all the gold, the silver, the metal, the aluminum, all that stuff that comes out of there belongs to me and goes into the treasury of the Lord. It's the Lord's. Don't no person get nothing. But, of course, when they went on the following nine conquests, taking over cities and things like that, the Lord let them take spoil out of there and let them personally have stuff out of the city after they wiped out the people in the city and took it over. But Achan took something out of Jericho, and it was personal sin. He did it privately, by himself. His mom, his wife and his child, I don't know if his wife and his children knew about it, but it cost his wife and his children because the Lord had Joshua burn every one of them. He burned Achan. He burned his wife. He burned his children. He burned his dogs and his cats and his tent and everything having to do with it, and even the gold, the silver, and the Babylonish, however you say that, garments. Burned it all up. And that's what Achan was telling Joshua, because God called him out, and Joshua called him out, and he stood before the congregation. That's him answering Joshua. He said, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel, and thus have I done. Then he told Joshua where the stuff was, and they went and dug it up out of his tent, brought it back, and burned him and everything that belonged to him, and every person that belonged to him. There's personal sin. Your personal sin. You have personal sin. Sin that you deal with. Sin that you and nobody else is responsible for. Nobody else has to do with it. It's just your sin. Personal sin. That's a kind of sin. National sin and personal sin. What else? Well, a secret sin. Secret sin, that's a kind of sin. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 8 says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. I mean, there's sins that I have sinned that you're never going to know about. It's just between the Lord and I. He knows about it because he set my sins before him, my secret sins before him. And he deals with me about them things and has dealt with me about them, and he deals with you about them. But secret sins. You got secret sins, don't you? Ain't you got some sins in your life that you and the Lord have already had a conversation about and you've confessed to him, but you don't want anybody else in the world to ever find out? Yeah, all of us do. Secret sin. What kinds of sin? National sins. Personal sins. Did you know that? Secret sins. We're talking about what the Scriptures say and describe to us about sin. Not what we think, what the Bible says. Secret sin. And then there's another one. It's presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin. Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 13. Psalm chapter 19 verse 13 says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Presumptuous sins. What do you mean by presumptuous sins, Brother Thurman? Well, it's sins that we presume that God's going to go ahead and forgive us for. Well, God's going to forgive me for it. And I already know that I'm going to commit this, even though I know I should not commit it, and the Lord's telling me, and the Holy Ghost is convicting me of it. And some of them overpower us, but that's not what it's talking about. That's talking about giving in to a sin because you know the Lord's merciful. And you know He'll forgive you. And every one of us have done that. And it's miserable. It's miserable. You can't even enjoy your sin because it's so miserable. You know that, I don't know, whatever it might be. But you can't even get pleasure out of your sin because you know, and you're presuming, and you know that's wrong to begin with, and you feel like you're spitting in God's face doing it, and you kind of are, sort of way. But presumptuous sin. Just sinning, knowing that God is merciful and that you are a son of God and you're already saved and you're on your way to heaven. And no matter what sin you sin, you're not going to hell. And God's not going to condemn you. So you presume to go ahead and sin. Presumptuous sins. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. That's what the psalmist said, David. If that was him, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. In other words, don't let me think that because of your mercy and because of what a kind God you are to me, that it's still not very, very important for me to stay holy in your eyes and for me to walk upright before you and do the things that are pleasing to you, Lord. Presumptuous sins. We're talking about kinds of sin. We all do that, brothers and sisters, and we ought not. It's hard to fight against sin. Some sins are more powerful than others, and the lusts of them are just, they're just so strong. That shows you how powerful sin is. And that shows you why it costs the blood of God to overcome it. There had to be a power that was more powerful than that. Secret sin, personal sin, national sin, presumptuous sin. What else? Well, there's another kind of sin. Open sin. Open sin. Sins that are out in the open. First Timothy, there's a lot of that in America now. They even stand up and brag about it. And invite others and kind of clap for everybody else that does their open sin. Yeah, God talks about that. The scriptures talk about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 24 and 25 says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. In other words, they get paid back for their sin in front of everybody. And some men, they follow after. In other words, their reward will come later. Likewise, also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand. They get paid by good things for doing good things ahead of time, ahead of judgment. And they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Open sin. You ever seen somebody get paid back for their sins? I have. Look in the mirror. But talking about open, where everybody knows, I mean, they don't call it open sin. They call it, what is it? They got a name for it. I can't think of it right now, but it's like when somebody steps out in line with their car and goes across a line they're not supposed to, and then runs up to get into a spot that they wasn't supposed to do it and do it illegally, and they park right in front of a policeman and he turns his lights on. I forget what they call it. Everybody got a name for it, but it ain't. It's open sin. People see, yeah, look at that. He's doing wrong. He's doing wrong. He's doing. Whoop! He got paid back right away. Open sin. National sin. Personal sin. Secret sin. Presumptuous sin. You didn't know there's that many different kinds of sin, did you? I didn't. I thought sin was sin, but sin comes in many different flavors, doesn't it? Open sin. What else? Well, shameless sin. There's some sin that is so shameful. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, "The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves." They show the show of their countenance. When you look at them, they're just having a good old time with their sin. And they declare their sin as Sodom did. And they don't even hide it. Kind of like coming out of the closet. The Bible says, and is of the opinion, that sin should be hidden should be so shameful. Sin is a shameful thing, and it should be hidden from people, because it'll be shameful for people to see your sin. That's why the Bible says it's a shame, that nakedness is a shame, because nakedness is a sin. Why? Because these bodies are not like what the advertisement on television says, and how beautiful and how pretty and how sexy and all that kind of gobbledygook, garbage, blah, blah, blah. The Bible says these bodies are vile. Vile. And you ought to be ashamed. That's why people laugh at somebody for streaking. Because it's a shame, and it's pathetic, and it's stupid, and it's ignorant. And the Lord said it's shameful. But there's shameless sin, to where people just sin and have no shame about it. No shame about it. Look at all the protests on the news nowadays, and all the sort of sinful people and sinful groups and sinful gatherings that are together, that are supposed to be shameful in front of other people, but they're bragging about it. I ain't got to name them. You know in your heart what they are. God the Holy Ghost bears witness of the truth of what it is. It's shameless sin. What else? Well, there's youthful sin. Youthful sin. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 25 and verse 7, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord." There's youthful sins. Sins that you've committed as youth, as being a youth, that a youth would be involved in. You see, the Bible takes the notion and takes the position that when you find out what sin is and who the Lord is, and you grow, you're supposed to put these youthful sins away and not be bothered with them anymore. There's such thing called youthful sins. Sins that a youth, somebody that has no experience in growing in the Lord in good and evil, and has not become wise in the difference of good and evil yet. That's what the Bible declares wisdom is being able to tell the difference in good and evil. Youthful sin. Sins that people sin that should only be in a youthful classification, somebody that's ignorant of the sin until they learn better. A lot of that going on nowadays, isn't it? Right in public. You can just look on anywhere, and you see adult behavior now. Police arresting people and people acting like children. Grown-up people acting like little spoiled brats. And I got my rights. The only right you got, brothers and sisters, is to do right and to fear God. That's the right you better take. And we do, don't we? Youthful sin. What else? Well, not only is there national sin, personal sin, secret sin, presumptuous sin, open sin, and shameless sin, and youthful sin, but public sin. Sin that's sinned in public. Sin that is in public. It's kind of like this matter that we was talking about, shameless, but it's a little different. Let's look at some scriptures. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 10. And the Bible says, "And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." What David did was he counted the military part of Israel. And he done it out of the pride of his heart, just to see how many people, how big of a military force he had. And Joab told him and warned him, don't do this. This ain't right. And he done it publicly. And he reaped it publicly too, because when he done it, he realized that he had sinned. And everybody else knew what he was doing too, because he was counting in every city all across Israel, counting up all the people, and it was public. And it was proud, and it was kind of belligerent before God, and mocking, and not mocking the Lord, but look here who we are. Look what I got. Look at this army I got. And it wasn't the army of Israel that was giving Israel the victories. It was the Lord. And he stepped out of line. 2 Samuel chapter 24 and 17, listen to what it says. "And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, Lo, I have sinned, I have done very wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." What David done publicly cost people's lives, because the Lord gave him a choice. He gave him one of three choices. Either his enemy was going to overtake him for a certain period of time, or either there was going to be famine, lack of food for a certain period of time, just because of this sin that he'd done and numbered Israel. Or he was going to have the hand of the Lord on him. And the sword of the Lord is what the Lord said. And he chose the sword of the Lord because he said the Lord was merciful, but the Lord wasn't merciful. The Lord sent an angel through the house of Israel with a sword and was killing people right and left. And the Bible says, "And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, Lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." Public sin. It costs others because of your public sin. Is there anything you've ever done in public or done openly or done that costs somebody else? We all have. public sin. What else? Well, there's something that's called ignorant sin that the Bible speaks of. Ignorant sin. People say, well, if it's ignorant, then that means I'm not responsible. No, not according to the Word of God. The Word of God, even holy sin, is so sinful, exceedingly sinful, is such sin, so sinful, that even done ignorantly is against God. Listen to what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 2. Speaking of the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them. Okay, so we see an ignorant sin there. We see an ignorant sin. All right, and then Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 13 and 14, the Lord says a little more about it. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin, that was talking about an individual sinning ignorantly, if a soul shall sin through ignorance, all right, now, he says, and if a whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, in other words, they don't even know they're sinning, but they're sinning, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, you see, you can be guilty without even knowing it, because of sin, because of ignorant sin. When the sin, which they have sinned against it, is known, they find out, we've sinned. Then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. You see, there's even a sacrifice for ignorant sins that we commit, which ours is the Lord Jesus Christ, praise Him, praise His wonderful name. He even has paid for our ignorant sins. You don't think there's sins in your life that you have sinned against God and don't even know that you sinned? The Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. Have you ever thought some foolishness and just forgot it right away and didn't even check up on it? Yeah, we all have. Ignorant sin. The Bible says that the Lord provided it through His kindness and His mercy, whether it be an individual soul or whether it be the congregation, through ignorant sins, He provided a sacrifice for that. If they find out that they sinned and they come to the knowledge that, hey, you know, yesterday we sinned against God, then they were to bring a sacrifice for that, because now they knew they sinned against God. There's ignorant sin. Ignorant sin. Once you find out that it was sin, you're responsible for it. But it's still sin. And then finally, there's one more. Willful sin. My, oh my. Talk about bringing in the last one, huh? Willful sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, we know the Lord Jesus Christ died for us and we trusted in that. And then we sin willfully, knowing that we're forgiven. There's no more sacrifice. Jesus has already provided the ultimate sacrifice for it. So the Lord's going to have to deal with you about it as a son. And it moves on into some other things that Hebrews chapter 10 talks about, also about sin. But willful sin. If we sin willfully, in other words, I'm going to sin no matter what God thinks about it. That's a dangerous way to get your mind in, or to even a child of God should not even be in a condition to where he could think something like that. You ought to be walking with the Lord and disciplining yourself and studying the scriptures like you are right now, and walking before the Lord in such a way to where you would never allow yourself to get in that position to where it's capable of thinking that sinning against the Lord willfully, I'm going to go ahead and sin against him anyway. You say, well, isn't all sin willful? Well, I mean, is there any times during the day that you face temptation and you face sin and you're not willing, but you sin anyway? You're not willing to sin, but you sin anyway? Yeah. But we're not talking about that kind of sin. We're talking about willful sin. I'm going to sin. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there. We're going to stop right there, brothers and sisters. We've talked about it quite a bit. I didn't know there was that many different kinds of sin. Did you? The Bible teaches us some good stuff, even though some pretty important stuff concerning sin. We talked about sources of sin today. Satan being a source of sin, man's heart is a source of sin. And lust is a source of sin. Adam's transgression is a source of sin. And the natural birth is a source of sin. And then different kinds of sin we talked about. National, personal, secret, presumptuous, open sin, shameless sin, youthful sin, public sin, ignorant sin, willful sin. We probably had a taste of every one of them, hadn't we? And we fight against every one of them also. Some of them we got the victory over, some of them we don't. Most Christians are not willing to be part of shameless sin because they don't want to be shamed and they don't want to shame the Savior. Public sin and things of that, you know, open sin and presumptuous sin, just all sorts of sin, all kinds of sin, different kinds of sin. All right, well, we're going to stop right there, brothers and sisters. In the next recording we come together, we're going to talk about the consequences of sin among the unsaved. Among the unsaved. You mean there's a different sort of consequence for unsaved than there is for saved? Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, let me give you the scriptures for today and what we've read today. You ready? Under kinds of sin, or not kinds of sin, but the first one we did, sources of sin, here are the scriptures. John chapter 8, verse 44. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 15, verse 16 through 20. James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Psalm chapter 51, verse 5, and Psalm chapter 58, verse 3. And here are the scriptures that we talked about today and read under kinds of sin. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, Joshua chapter 7, verse 20, Psalm chapter 90, verse 8, Psalm chapter 19, verse 13, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24 and 25. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. Psalm chapter 25, verse 7. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10. And then we read 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 17. And then Leviticus chapter 4, verse 2. And then we read Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. And the last one for today that we were in, and you can get in there and read about that. We was talking about willful sin in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, and read that chapter and see what the Lord's talking about sinning after there's no more sacrifice for it. I mean, Jesus has done it all, and he's talking about that. Okay? All right, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining in today. And we've talked about quite a bit with this sin matter. And we'll get into some more and go on through here and find out what the scriptures say about sin. And just bear with it, and let's get the truth. Let's find out what God's Word says about this matter of sin. Devil's going to fight you all the way through it. Just expect attack. Expect that. But let's go on through it, and let's let God the Holy Ghost just put every bit of truth that He wants us to have in our minds and in our hearts concerning sin, and it be from His Word, and we can trust it. And then we'll go on and learn some other stuff. Okay? All right. Well, the Lord bless you. This is the ABCs of Christian Growth, Brother Thurman. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.